Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, I was watching the Chiefs game over the weekend, and I thought it was pretty funny because, and I can't even remember, Dave, do you remember who the announcer was on that broadcast? But they were referring to Patrick Mahomes as Pat Mahomes, and I think some people kind of called him Pat when he was breaking out. I may have done it. And his mom tweeted out that my son's name is not Pat, it's Patrick. And I saw our own Carol Daniel relate with this on Facebook, so I wanted to get you on here. And Becky said the other night, yeah, Pat's not, that's not a name for a guy. It's Patrick, right?
It's Patrick. It is Patrick. That is his
given
name.
Did he ever go by Pat at all?
No, no, I don't know. I don't think so. But I have been in his presence. We've been out together, and he'll meet someone, and he will say, or I will introduce him to someone, and I will say, this is my husband, Patrick. And they will say, hey, Pat, nice to meet you. And I've never understood that.
Yeah, maybe it's just, you know, something that people are used to doing. But I can certainly understand if my name was Patrick that, you know, I have a nephew named Patrick. I've never called him Pat. He's never gone as Pat. The only Pats that I know are Patricia's.
Ah, interesting. And you know,
I have an Aunt Pat, for example.
My son is a junior, and he has friends who call him Pat. And I pulled him aside and I said, did you tell them to call you Pat? And he goes, no, they just started calling me that. And my husband thinks, Mark, that I'm overreacting. That's what I said on Facebook. You know, and you're laughing because that's not the first time he has said to me, I think you're overreacting. It's no big deal, he said. It's no big deal to him. But I just think it's bridging upon rudeness, I think. Unless I introduce myself and say, my name is, but you can call me fill in the blank.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You know, and people probably, you know, I think sometimes if people respond Pat, there's just awkward nervousness when you're meeting someone. So you can maybe chalk it up to that just a little bit. It's funny though, because you know my wife as what
Rebecca.
Name? Right. So everybody who works with her knows her as Rebecca. She's always Rebecca professionally. But I call her Beck. I don't really even call her Becky. But friends, close friends, you know, friends from high school call her Becky. So it gets confusing because then people get worried. Wait, one time I remember somebody that she works with, when I called her Becky, someone said, who's Becky? Because they weren't used
like,
to hearing that name.
Who are you talking about?
But it is interesting that your husband doesn't really, he doesn't care that much about it.
No, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. But, you know, I also have the issue with the last name, Daniel. There's no S.
I was just going to bring that up.
People
added,
they added S all the time. And he famously said to me many years ago, because it's my married name, it's been my name longer than it has been your name, and it doesn't bother me. And I said, you know, I'm at events. I'm out in the public. And when people are announcing your name at a microphone.
But they still do it all the time.
You want them to say it correctly.
I hear people do it all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, exactly.
So I have gotten over it. I just want to make sure the check clears. That's my response to that.
Hey, all I know is that when I, 13 years ago, whatever it was, when I said, Carol Daniels, and I think I might have said on the air the first time, I was corrected, and I don't believe I made that
I
mistake
didn't correct
ever since.
You.
Hey,
it wasn't
hey,
me.
I gotta, no, you did it one time. You did. But you should have. You should have corrected me. Don't worry about that. Hey, is Joe Potts coming up on sports this afternoon?
Listen,
he thinks I'm going to make that mistake
there
because
are three
I call
of
him
us.
Joe.
You call him Joe Potts.
No, I haven't done that yet.
There are three of us in the No S Club. Yeah. Joe Pott and Carol Daniel are the two of the three in the No S Club.
Hey, quickly, I have 90 seconds for this story. I told Dave this last night. So, Carol, Alexa Reardon started going to school yesterday, like on the school bus. So, yesterday morning, her first time on the school bus, she's going 5 days now in Rockwood in kindergarten. So, last night was the first night she's coming home on the bus, and I was off early for baseball, so I'm going to go up and, you know, and meet her. And Becky came home. I didn't know that she was, see, I called her Becky. I didn't know she was coming home. So we meet the bus in front of our neighbor's house where they drop off. Our neighbor's daughter, Gwen, gets off. And that's it. And the bus starts driving down the block. I'm like, and Bex, we're both like, what happened? So Becky's like, well, you better chase. So I get in my car. I chase him up to the other neighborhood kind of above our subdivision. And he can tell I'm following him. And he opens the door and goes, who'd I miss? I'm like, well, I think that one right there. And Alexa just was like, I said something, but she's quiet and shy. And she's got a mask on. So, but I bring it up because if Becky had not come home and I was on the air like I am today. So she's going to get home here in about probably 45 minutes. And, you know, she knows that she can come in and the door's open and everything. But if it was yesterday, I would have been, I think I would have texted you and said, Carol, I lost my daughter. Do the 4 o'clock hour.
Wow. Oh, poor thing. Was she kind of like unnerved?
No, she was fine. She was fine. And you know what?
I would have been ticked off.
She called the school. My wife calls the school. Mm-hmm. And they're like, eh. Something tells me it happens all the time. So they would have gotten her back here.
It should not happen.
I know.
But I know what happens. You're like, I know, but it does. I know what happens. I know what happens, but I'm just saying it should not happen. Drivers, they have a list. They know where they're supposed to drop off which child. I can only imagine how confusing it gets, but precious cargo, man.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we'll talk to you again at 3:30. We got Total Information PM coming up at 4. It's 3:12. Congresswoman Ann Wagner coming up. Rick Horton or Ricky? We got to ask him because people call him Ricky. I'm always uncomfortable with that. Coming up at 3:30.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
We have Cardinals baseball tonight on KMOX. We thought we'd be in the pregame right now, but because the Indians lost to the Yankees, that game got moved to 6 o'clock. The Emory pregame just after 5. John Rudy at 4:20. Rick Horton at 3:35. We're joined this afternoon. An update from Washington. Congresswoman Ann Wagner with me. Ann, how are you on the Quiver River Electric guest line?
I am I'm out of breath. We have been running for 3 straight weeks here, and it seems like in circles, to be honest. We desperately need another stimulus package, a way to help our families and help our businesses, especially our small business owners, restaurateurs, retail, hotel, entertainment, these kinds of folks desperately need more assistance, and it is nothing but a partisan football. I mean, it's just, it's reprehensible what's going on. I'm really fed up. The latest to come out now, and I'm going to vote here shortly, on the rule for this is Nancy Pelosi basically took her old Heroes Act from May, which is a $2.2 trillion socialist wish list that, again, as I say, was rejected overwhelmingly. It will never become law. It does things that really have almost nothing to do with COVID and the response to COVID and what we should be doing for our jobs, our economy, for healthcare. I mean, it literally allows illegal immigrants to receive direct stimulus payments. It federalizes our elections. Now, we're already voting, and less than 5 weeks here to go, and it's the 71 pages of it federalizing our elections, allowing ballot harvesting, same-day registration. And it makes this permanent, by the way. It federalizes, takes it away from our counties, our states, our boards of election, our secretaries of state, makes it a full-on federal election for the forever. It doesn't even sunset, okay? Let's see. What else does it have in it? Tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires by repealing the SALT limitations. It legalizes marijuana, like all marijuana, every street corner, every neighborhood, which I don't know, during a pandemic, maybe that's a good thing, Mark. I'm not sure anymore. But it has none of those common-sense liability reforms for our frontline providers, our healthcare workers, our businesses, our schools, our universities. It's and here's the real kicker. She added one thing to it that or actually took it away from her original one in May. She she struck the entire line item, removed $600 million from that original HEROES Act that was intended for the COPS program, the COPS, the COPS hiring program, that is the foundation of our state and local law enforcement assistance. $600 million, the epitome of defunding the police.
Okay.
So it's just, I can't even believe that this is going on. And this is what we're up
fighting about. Well, let's kind of talk about the, first of all, I would be okay with the legalization of marijuana because I'm very libertarian on that. However, no, I mean, I'm being serious about that. However, I don't think it belongs in this bill, all right?
No,
but
it does
look,
not.
Mnuchin, it was $1.3 trillion, then Mnuchin offers $1.6 trillion. What's going to get this done? Because, look, I'm seeing more stories today, and I think we need to be, and I know we're in the middle of a presidential election, and there's a pandemic and all this. We're not talking about helping the people who are out of work right now, who don't have a lifeline, who are going to head into a winter with no jobs. So there's a lot on the line here, I think.
There is. There really is. And as I said, I don't like playing politics on this issue. We have come together four times, four different packages, stimulus packages that were all dealing with COVID and COVID relief, health, safety, security, economic, jobs, all of that has come together four times. And this thing has been bouncing around now, and Nancy Pelosi is not serious. I mean, we have really moved towards them in a large way, and so has the White House. And my point in just giving folks a sense of the things that are in this bill is just that. So much of it, and I've only scratched the surface, has nothing to do with COVID and costs.
Yeah,
way
that's frustrating.
Too much money.
That is and right. Well, look, and I've pointed this out in the past. I think the the Republicans have done things along these lines, at least with some of the stuffing of the extra projects. That's how the sausage gets made. In this particular situation, I don't know why that should even be a part of the legislation. Wasn't there some craziness that was in the last one too?
Oh well, there was in the last one she put forward in May. It's the same. It's a repeat of that. The only difference is now she defunded the police by removing $600 million. That was in the her original one in May. So this is the same thing from a couple of months ago. It's not serious, and it's a socialist wish list with so many things that have nothing to do with COVID, and all she's doing is stalling and stalling and stalling. And, you know, to wish harm on, Americans who are suffering, anyone who is suffering, all of us have had a really rough time during this pandemic. To do that for what she perceives as political gain, as I said, I think it's reprehensible.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the other things going on, including the debate from a couple of nights ago. I thought that was just a complete mess, and I don't understand. Look, there's a lot of spinning going on, a little parsing, and I don't like playing the game. Well, Biden said this or they did that. I just don't think it was too difficult for the president to disavow white supremacists. I don't think that was a tough question. I don't think it was too tough to not, insensitively go after Joe Biden's son. I think there's some questions about Hunter Biden, but certainly there's some family history. I just don't understand how this helps him get reelected, Ann. I really don't.
Well, I got to tell you what, I thought that it didn't change anybody's mind at all to be, first and foremost. The debate did.
It's probably true.
Didn't change anybody's mind. I think the moderator lost control. I think nobody was able to talk policy or actually have a debate. It was constant interruptions, shouting, name-calling. I mean, we are so much better than that, Mark. It really is. And I put out a statement last night to your line about white supremacy and condemning it, that I made it clear once again, as I have on several different occasions, that I absolutely condemn both white supremacists and racial left groups that continue to stand against all forms of racism. You know, everyone should be able to engage in responsible political discourse moving forward, and that is just the truth of it, and that you're right. It should be soundly, soundly condemned.
Well, why is it that hard for him then? You got a theory on that? I mean, I don't really get it. I just think that's a fastball down the middle, a slow fastball down the middle that he should be able to knock out of the park.
I have no answer for that. I kind of tuned out at that point, to be perfectly honest. I mean, the shouting, the name calling. I mean, Joe Biden telling him to shut up, and it's all sorts of things. It just thought the decorum was awful, and you've got to have there's a way to have civil discourse and to disagree without being so incredibly rude and disagreeable, and I think it turned off a lot of people. And
you know who's a great example of that was RBG and Justice Scalia. You know, I held that up here in the last couple of weeks as a model for people getting along. I'm just going to tell you right now, and it's sad. I haven't talked about this on the air yet. I probably will. Maybe I won't. But I mean, in the last week, I had a very close friend drop me. Just drop me as a friend. Divorce me as a friend. Black friend because of all this race stuff. Apparently, you know, what I say on the air when I'm concerned about critical race theory, because I think it's a legitimate issue, and I think Chris Wallace did not do any justice because he didn't really seem to understand what it was. So it's terrible.
No, he did not.
It's a terrible time. I'm sick about it, but no one can have, I just don't know why I can't have legitimate complaints about some of the things that are happening out there and at least get some discourse from people who might disagree with me instead of just getting dropped as a friend. But that's the way this went down. So,
you've got to be able to have it at this point. Got to be able to have a civil debate. But you know what? Civility is in short order right now, sadly. And, you know, I'm one who still believes. I believe in the values that I hold up, the issues, the policies that I support, which I believe are very much in tune with the 2nd Congressional District. But I most of all think we should be calling people to their highest and best, not their lowest and least. And I don't care whether you are, you know, a member of Congress, a president of the United States, a radio show talk host. We are better than that, okay? And we should be able to have debates and civil discourse and agree to disagree in a way that is positive and polite. And, you know, because really people just turn off the noise. And they really miss the actual ideas and concepts and policy and such that are supposed to be discussed.
Yeah, it's not good. It's just not a good time. And I'm not going to get to this either today. But Will Leach, who you know has a great affinity for the St. Louis Cardinals, he's more of a sports guy, but he writes about other things. He wrote a great column about just isolation and people being lonely and the things that people are doing right now that might. Not, you know, he offered an example of something he did, and then a few weeks later he said, why did I do that? What am I thinking? But I think that this whole thing and the isolation and the pressure is leading to bad decisions. Well, not bad decisions, but just, you know, things that are happening that may not have happened in the past, and it's just, I don't know how we get out of it. Hopefully you guys can get something together on the stimulus.
Well, I hope so, too. And it is something I've been fighting for nonstop. There's a discharge petition at the desk right now, which would allow a bill that we all agree about, which will give economic stimulus to our businesses, that's at the desk right now that we're trying to get the Democrats to sign on to. And I think that some of her moderate members are going to have to do that. And I hope they do. And then we can bring it to the floor and at least get something that will be signed into law as opposed to this piece of, as I said, you know, socialist wish list that has very little to do with COVID whatsoever, and is not as serious. We haven't moved the ball one inch, other than to further defund the police, which is just outrageous. Especially,
yeah, that is outrageous.
Big law enforcement town, and law and order is important to us, and we support our men and women in blue, and our first responders, and our firefighters. We just do across the board.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner, great to have you back as usual. I know you have work to get back to there in Washington.
I do.
Keep us posted, Ann.
I will. Take care.
3:29, Mr. Rick Horton on the other side of news. We're going to talk a little Cardinals baseball with the Padres. Game 2 is coming up tonight. Looks like the White Sox are beating the A's right now in the bottom of the third, 3-0. So that series, which is tied 1-1, still has a way to go. The Reds eliminated because they cannot hit a baseball. Period. They didn't have a great two-game series with Atlanta, although Atlanta didn't have the most offensive production yesterday. They did win the game today. The Cubs game against the Marlins has been canceled. We have baseball tonight from San Diego. John Rooney is going to join us at 4:20. And I mentioned Mr. Horton here coming up next on KMOX.
World Series playoff baseball continues tonight. The Cards and Padres, Game 2. Pregame 5:12. First pitch 6:08. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Here's the 2-1 pitch now. It's a fastball and a ground ball, base hit into a right field. Here comes the run home. Here comes the throw, and he is safe at the plate, and the Cardinals get that really big and important run. Nice going, Dexter Fowler. An RBI single to drive home DeJong, and those walks will kill you, won't they?
Oh, yeah, and I thought a hit batsman was going to kill the Cardinals also later in that game, but they get the win game 2 tonight. Rick Horton with us this afternoon with a preview and reaction to game 1. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mark. Good to visit with you.
You know, I think that a lot of us knew going in, I'm sure you said something along these lines too, where you head into a 3-game series with all these teams in the postseason, there's going to be a lower seed that knocks off a higher seed. It's going to happen. I don't know if the Brewers are going to be able to come back. But, it just happens in sports. So it would not shock me. It didn't shock me yesterday going into the game when I thought it's possible, especially with the challenges that the Padres have. But, man, you couldn't have asked for a better start.
That's right. And by the way, the Marlins might do that to the Cubs. And that's certainly a possibility on the National League side. But you're right. You know, the 3-game series, you know, it's not the fairest of things. But, you know, when it's 2020, I think we've kind of thrown fair out the window and you're kind of just doing what makes the most sense. And so, 3-game series, anybody can beat anybody in 3-game series. But that's kind of the fun of it right now. And boy, it is nice to get that first win. And, you know, what I think surprised me as much as anything is how the Cardinals came out of the box swinging the bat. I mean, just those early runs. And we talked about defense a lot as the game went on in the Cardinals bullpen. But you get those runs early, and Mike Shannon said it, the team that's going to score first is probably going to win this game.
Right.
He was absolutely right.
Yeah, and I like the fact, and I've been on the Dylan Carlson train a lot, and a lot of fans have been, you know, demanding that he play for the Cardinals. But even when he was struggling early, you know, in the season, in the short season, I think you and I talked about it. Look, he was making contact. You knew that it was there. We know the talent, and I like that Mike Schilt gave him the opportunity to prove it, and he did yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Well, the Dylan Carlson train got off the tracks for a bit, and that was the problem. I mean, he was just not being himself. He was, you know, pressing a little bit. He'd had those good at-bats early that you and I talked about, and then he kind of just spiraled in a bad direction. But his time off, I think, really just helped kind of get his reset going. And Mike Schilt showing a lot of confidence in him, saying, yeah, you're 21. Yeah, you're hitting 200 or less than 200 at the time. But you're going to hit cleanup for a team that's playing the final week of the season and going into the playoffs, because that's how much I think of you. I mean, think about how much of a confidence booster that would be for a young player. And he does have the ability to match that confidence. He does a lot of things well. And the way he hit the ball to left field especially was fun.
So can Adam Wainwright do it again tonight in San Diego?
Well, can Adam Wainwright do anything? The answer to that question is always yes. I mean, I don't care what it is. I mean, Adam surprises us all the time, Mark, as you know. And, you know, he's certainly capable of just coming up with a classic Adam Wainwright moment. And, you know, it seems like experience really helps in October baseball, and Adam has plenty of that.
I got to talk about some of the other highlights from yesterday, and I love the way Giovanni Gallegos is pitching. There's a lot of confidence there right now, and you know I have a lot of respect for Fernando Tatis Jr. and what he's been able to accomplish. But boy, he looked frustrated, didn't he?
Yeah, and that was the key at bat in the game. We talked about it while it was happening. We had the sense that the game is right here. Sometimes you just know, Mark, and you watch 162 games a year most years, and you kind of feel like, okay, this is the fulcrum. This is the moment. And you've got the guy who, you know, clearly has been the Cardinals closer and, you know, was out for a bit. And when he first came back the first day, he was a little shaky. But, boy, he's got that slider working again. And so he's the right guy in the right situation, pitching to the guy that can hurt you the most in Tatis Jr., who I really admire. I love watching him play. But I certainly loved watching that result. He threw that slider down the way and got him. Very key moment in that game yesterday.
Hey, Rick, I've seen some fan comments, and I think this is a fair question. Maybe you have a little insight here on Mike Schilt's reasoning. Look, Harrison Bader is a great defensive player. We saw what he did even at the end of the game yesterday. But he did not have a great game. He has trouble, you know, with the bat. And can you make a case that Tyler O'Neill, while you maybe take a little bit off defensively, can be a stronger presence with the bat, which is what you need right now?
Yeah, I think you know, of course, everybody has their fan favorite. You know, the fans have their favorites, and you know, there's some Tyler O'Neill haters out there too. I mean, so if Tyler O'Neill played, struck out 4 times, you'd be hearing from those people, because his average is actually lower this year than Harrison Bader's. And now I will say this about Tyler O'Neill: I'm a big fan of his. For one thing, he can bench press an automobile, so I mean, that's how strong he is. But But the dude can play some left field, too. He's a good defensive left fielder. He has as good a range of anybody in the National League as far as playing left field. So you got a good good outfielders galore, frankly, in the Cardinals outfield right now. And, you know, the question would be, you know, to put Carlson in center and put O'Neill in left. Well, you have more power potential, perhaps, with Tyler. And, again, we're talking about a guy in Bader that hit a ball into Big Mac land a few days ago. So, you know, they both show you flashes of brilliance, but neither one of them have been kind of an everyday I'm going to perform. So the days they don't perform, they're just going to get their haters out there that are tired of the strikeouts. Yeah. And I get that. I don't blame them.
Yeah, you're always going to have someone's going to pick around the edges and ask questions. Yeah. But I think Mike Schilt deserves a lot of credit for a lot of these decisions right now.
Reasonable question,
you know,
it's a reasonable question.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had a conversation with Jesse Agler, I think is his name, from the Padres. You probably know him, on Wednesday. One of the things he said was, look, the Cardinals and the Cardinals fans, they're in the heads of certainly the fans in San Diego, the city of San Diego, but maybe in the players a bit too, knowing the dominance that the Cardinals have had in the playoffs over the years against the Padres. It just seems like, now, I'm also a guy who thinks, man, you hear these stats about, you know, so many games and the Cardinals will beat this many times in a row against the Padres. Then you kind of feel like that streak's going to go off the rails too.
Yeah. Well, but what really happens, I think, and you talk about the minds of the players especially, because that's really what matters. The fans will feel that as well. But, you know, my story that I'd say is the first time I ever played against the Yankees in a big league uniform, I was with the White Sox. You know, I'm out on the field and the Yankees came out of the dugout and I thought, oh my goodness, that's the Yankees. Look at that uniform. That's the Yankees, for goodness sake. So there's something about that. There's a mystique about that. And I think in the National League, the Cardinals, the Dodgers have a little bit of that too. Maybe not to the degree the Yankees do, but there's a swagger that comes with that. And, you know, I there are teams, honestly, I mean, St. Louis is such a nice, likable Midwest city, but there are teams around the National League that hate the Cardinals. And they hate them because of that swagger that they feel and that kind of almost an implied arrogance, and I'm not sure it's all arrogance, but there, you know, there's a little bit of competitiveness in it for sure. That, you know, they feel like, wow, the Cardinals just kind of think they're better than us because, well, they've been better than us. So that's kind of the place you're stuck in, I think, if you're on the Cardinals side. But I do think that swagger actually pays some dividends when you get to October. Clearly, the Cardinals have outperformed in a lot of Octobers, and let's hope this is another one.
You know, I saw some of this firsthand when I was in Milwaukee. The year that I moved to Milwaukee, the Brewers were still in the American League, and they shifted. You know, we had the realignment the next year, and I was thrilled because I was a Cardinals fan. But, of course, because of 82, there's a lot of animus that exists. But over the course of the years, and I love the fact that the – come on in, babe. My daughter just got home from school. Okay. Okay, see, she just got off the bus, Rick. I'm dealing with kindergarten students. So anyway,
real life stuff, you bet.
Well, the story, you missed the story earlier. Sorry, she didn't get off the bus yesterday. The bus driver drove away with her on the bus, so we had a little drama. I have no idea what I was saying, but here's what I will say. There's been a miracle
in baseball. Milwaukee, in the car.
Oh, yeah, so the animus, the hatred that was there and still exists, I think sometimes in a healthy way, but yeah, they don't have that. But let me close with this, because there has been a baseball miracle today, and I think you're aware that the Atlanta Braves have won a playoff series for the first time in almost two decades, and the Cardinals have had a little bit to do with that, too.
They have, and I do feel bad for the Minnesota Twins, who've now lost 18 playoff games in a row by exiting yesterday, because that's a good team. We saw the Twins. They're good. I feel bad for them. I thought maybe this was their year to do something.
I did, too.
Here's what I would take from the Braves-Cincinnati series. Cincinnati has great starting pitching, but you still have to score a run. You can't play two games without scoring a run. And so their lineup should be better than it is. They're not performing. And so there's a little bit of lesson, I think, in the Cardinal world is, yes, you can be about pitching and defense, but you still have to get some runs. You're not going to win games if you don't. And that's why, I think back at game one yesterday against the Padres, they scored early. They scored often. Here's hoping that they do that again in game two.
You know, I was tempted to do this with my friend in Vegas. I've been, you know, kind of putting down a couple of little small parlays over the weekend for football, and I almost said, you know what, I'm going to take a shot. The teams in the American League that I really liked as a chance to win the World Series, this will show my baseball knowledge. Are you ready? You're going to be stunned.
Yeah.
Be careful. Toronto and Minnesota.
Good thing
Oopsie.
You didn't get that bet down.
Yeah. And then I'd probably say the Padres. If I take the Cardinals, you know, passion and emotion out of it, I would say, well, maybe the Padres, but gosh, but that's what makes it fun. And, you know, nothing's fair, but you got to score runs and win the game. And the thing about the Padres is we know, and you pointed this out the other day, is they have not been heading into October in the strongest light. I mean, even outside of the pitching problems.
Yeah, well, I think the pitching problems part of it. Even Tatis was had a bit of a down September, finished better. John Rooney pointed that out. His numbers were better the last week, but kind of a down September for Tatis, although he looked pretty good yesterday. But you know, you think about a team that's thinking, hey, maybe this is our year. We've not done it before or haven't done it in a while. And, of course, they're all young players, too. So, you know, it's not like, you know, when we think about an organization doing something, the players that are there now don't know those guys 20 years ago. They never heard. They probably don't even know who they are, for goodness sake, much less, you know, kind of have a tie to them. So it's their deal. And you go in for your deal, your time, and you got two of your five starters go down the last week. I think that's been a pretty big blow to them. They're just trying to figure out what their rotation is going to be like if they win game two. So, let's hope that's a moot point.
I think it might be a moot point. I'm feeling pretty good. Rick Horton, we'll talk next week when we face the Dodgers or the Brewers. How does that sound?
You bet. All right, sounds good.
All right, take care, Ricky. I appreciate it. 3:46, John Rooney's going to be on here 4:20 as he gets ready for this game tonight. You're going to hear it on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, let's go to the White House briefing room where Kayleigh McEnany and John Roberts from Fox got into a little, I guess, scuffle today. We'll just call it that.
Just to clear it up this morning, can you, naming it, make a declarative statement that you denounce, that the president denounces it?
I just did. The president has denounced this repeatedly. The president was asked this. You're contriving a storyline and a narrative.
I'm asking you to put this to rest.
I just did. I read you all of the quotes. And if you need to see them in writing, I will put them in an email. Hold on.
So, Kayleigh, can you right now denounce white supremacy and the groups that espouse
it? The president has denounced white supremacy, the KKK, and hate groups in all forms. He signed a resolution to that effect. The president just last week, perhaps you all weren't covering it, but just last week expressed his desire to see the KKK prosecuted as domestic terrorists. This president had advocated for the death penalty for a white supremacist, the first federal execution in 17 years. His record on this is unmistakable.
Well, there's a feeling out there amongst many that, well, I think there's two sides. There's always two sides, right? The side that supports the president thinks he does nothing wrong, thinks that John Roberts is evil now, that John Roberts has had this question answered, that Kayleigh, the president's answered. The other side is, and by the way, there's plenty of Republicans on the other side that don't like the answer that the president gave. They don't like the answers in the past couple of days. And apparently John Roberts is one of them because he said this on Fox after all that happened.
And for all of you on Twitter who were hammering me for answering that for asking that question, I don't care because it's a question that needs to be asked. And clearly the president's Republican colleagues a mile away from here are looking for an answer for it, too. So stop deflecting. Stop blaming the media. I'm tired of it.
I have taken the stand that it is a legitimate question by John Roberts, and I supported that. And then I'm getting hit on Twitter because, who cares if he's from Fox? Chris Wallace from some Fox, too. The whole exchange is ridiculous. Look, it wasn't too hard of a question the other night. It really wasn't. Could have been definitively answered, whether you answered in the past or not. Perception is a reality. And for those people watching, Scott Adams, the guy who did Dilbert, has been a pretty big Trump defender. Without liking Trump, he's defended Trump a lot. And he put a video out today that said that basically that cost him his vote. Now, he also said that that could change if the president qualifies this again. But the back and forth is probably just going to keep continuing. I mean, nobody it's fascinating to me that and I think there's a lot of people out there that might have voted for the president the last time that still were not really thrilled with the answer the other night. But, man, you can't get some people to move off their points at all. I saw an obit. I want to throw this in. I saw an obit this morning for a guy by the name of Steve Phillips in a band called The Elders from Kansas City. And I thought to myself, Steve Phillips, I know that name, but I don't know the band The Elders. But then I remembered, I read further, that the Elders was a band that Steve Phillips joined maybe 20 years ago. He was in a band called Steve, Bob, and Rich. And then the Rainmakers, this is them. And they were a very popular band here in St. Louis and Columbia. I've probably maybe never seen a band in a club more often than Steve, Bob, and Rich and the Rainmakers. Steve Phillips, has died after complications with COVID. He was suffering for a long time with some other situations with pulmonary fibrosis, but he died from complications from COVID. Steve Phillips, a great Missouri rock and roller.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.